Happy Sabbath. Sorry, did you say I haven't been here for a long time? It's true. I think the last time we worshipped together was December, is that right? Is it a bit echoey? Is the sound okay? Everyone okay? Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, it's good to see you. Now, I see we have some visitors here. Hands up if this is if you're a visitor of the Wantirna Church. Raise your hands. All right, so those who are sitting next to these people who are here for the first time, maybe, or they're just visitors, can you please turn around and shake their hand and say, hey, welcome to Wantirna today. You know, there's a lot of you around these people, so a lot of you can actually say hello too. Well, welcome to our visitors and welcome to our church family. It's great to see each of you. I'm looking forward to hearing some of the Christmas stories and the New Year's stories that happened over this last few months. But just to catch up and see how good God is, amen? And so I'm going to get us to do an activity. Do you have coins lying around? Yes, I know people have done e-giving and yeah, you might have your card on your phone. But do you have a coin? Who's got a coin? All right, I'm going to get you to do an activity. So pull out a coin and raise the coin up. It's not a magic trick, I promise. Raise it up. Now, I'm needing everyone to participate in this. So raise it up. It's good because that means your arms are still working. That's great. Yes. Now, we don't have a lot of coins here. What's going on? There's a lot of e-giving that should have happened around this corner here. Huh? Just big envelopes. Oh, that's good. All right. Did we have the offering bag come this way? No, just. All right. Hold your coin up. Now, what I want you to do, this is an activity, a bit of an icebreaker for all of us to participate in. I want you to have a look at the year that you have on the coin. Have a look at the year. My one says 1975. It's actually older than me. Now, what I want you to do, very quickly, whatever year you have on your coin, I want you to think of something that happened in that year. If you don't know what happened, don't worry, Google is a really good friend of yours. So have a look, but just share with each other something that you had personally happened in that year, or look up something, or ask the person sitting next to you if they know if something happened in that year. So you've got about 1 minute to do this, interact, have a talk with each other, share what happened in that year. Okay, if you haven't swap, please. Swap, this is not you telling everything that happened in the year. Swap, take turns. Switch it over. All right, my turn. Anyone know what happened in the year 1975? I know I wasn't born, but anyone know anything significant or something that happened to them personally that they'd like to share that happened in 1975? Don't worry. Yes? Jamie? Sorry, what happened? Hang on, I've got to come closer. What happened?
Prime Minister Gough Whitlam got booted out of office.
Whitlam got booted out of office. Who here remembers that? There we go. Wow. Anything else happened in 1975? Who? Who was born? Mervyn, did you say you were born 1975? Oh, you got married. Oh, beautiful. Wow, thank you for sharing. Anyone else? One more thing. 1975? Vietnam War ended. Yes, does everybody remember? Yes. A lot of significant events happened during that time, yes? Yes. That's okay. Now, here's a cool thing. You can use that as a great icebreaker. Just pull out a coin, look at the year, and then have a discussion about what happened that year. How does that sound? Pretty cool. Well, before I continue, I'd love to have an opportunity to just pray. Don't worry, I'm not going to scare you with what I'm doing. There's a purpose for it. All right. That's okay. Okay, sure. No, don't worry. Don't worry. It's okay. Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have the opportunity and the blessing to be able to come together. We ask and pray that you'll continue to breathe your spirit of life through us as we continue to learn more about you. But even more importantly, help us to open ourselves up to what it is that you want to reveal in us so that we can grow closer in our relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'll be exploring today, and you would have heard it, our children's story touched on it, is family. Now, we have many families here in our congregation. So up on the screen, I have something called a fala. That's what we call this type of mat in our Samoan language, and some of the other Pacific Island cultures have something similar as well. Now, when you go to a Samoan function or an event and you have people speaking, they will speak for who knows how long, depending on what the topic is. And you will then hear, after a long speech of people sitting around, you will then hear someone say, "Yeah, wavelan fala." What does that mean? And it literally means that the mat is hot. That's what it literally means. And so in Samoa, the mat, there's a significance of the mat, but the concept of the mat being on fire is you've said a lot about what you've needed to say. Now pause, sit down, or that's it. And so what I'm wanting to do here is to provide you a concept from family, which is looking at this idea of mat, where in our family or in our culture, Samoan culture, and you'll have these different variations of what it looks like in different cultures, where people would actually come and sit around the mat. Families would sit around the mat. And so the title of today's sermon is called "The Fala That I Long For." The Fala That I Long For. I've taken this title from a book called "The Table That I Long For." Some may be familiar with this book, just recently came out. Is that right, Justin? And it's something that a lot of the ministers are reading. But I love this, and I'm going to explore this concept of the fala and coming from the umbrella of family with you and just see what the journey is going to look like for us today. Does that sound okay? All right. Now, in order to be able to sit around the fala requires you to be what? You need to be still. Because in order to be still It requires you to then have the opportunity to hear what the other person is saying. And if you're not still, you miss the opportunity of what is actually being communicated. So in Luke 10, you find the story of someone sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's the story of Mary and Martha. And here you find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, for those who may be familiar with the story, what is happening? Happy for you to share. What is happening with Martha? Martha is busy. And what's Mary doing? Sitting. And what does Martha do? She goes to Jesus and she complains to Jesus because Mary is not doing anything. So here's a concept of family that I want to explore with our church today. This is going to be a little bit funny because it requires you to participate in it. There is something in our family called unmet expectations. And there is a lot that happens not only in our families, but in our church family as well. Where what you think, because you're so good at mind reading, is exactly what the other person is thinking. So we're going to explore some of that today. Maybe a little bit confronting, but guess what? That's what the fella is for. Because the ongoing conversations that go back and forth between family requires everyone that sits at this fella to have a voice. From the youngest child to the eldest, each is required to sit and to listen and to have an opportunity to speak. So let's explore some questions that you are going to interact with. So turn to the person next to you and share a recent unmet expectation. I know the kids are like quick. I can see the kids quickly leaning over to their parents. But speak to someone next to you or between spouses. Turn to the person next to you and share a recent unmet expectation you had of someone. Example, your phone. I mean, you got a phone call or you called them and they didn't call back. Yeah, I can see some people like now starting to smile and looking away at me when I look at them. I'm not looking at anyone in particular, I'm looking at myself. Or received the text and you expected a text to come back or an email. What story did you tell yourself? You can whisper it. It's okay. This is where you can share. Because now I'm starting to see some revelations occurring by learning to listen. Now pause there, because I want you to share another brief situation. Keep it brief, because there's probably a lot of unmet expectations that we are now confessing, and that's okay. Share how you may have misunderstood or misinterpreted someone's behavior before checking it out. Share. Here's another one that might take a little bit deeper. What unmet expectations do you have of your Wantirna ministers? Or you could be vice versa. Oh, Kishore, do you need to see me after this? Okay. And here's what's interesting is that as you sit and as you explore, what was happening in the process as you were sharing? Revelations? Confrontations of unmet expectations and assumptions that you didn't realize you had or you harbored and have held for a long time. Who has unmet expectations and assumptions that they've held onto for many years? Let's go. I'm putting my hand right up and I'm looking up. I'm not looking at anyone, so you can raise your hand and be honest. Because that's the reality of what we carry. And in our families, you can't have the opportunity to sit that, to be able to do that, because as you're asking and sharing, as soon as you hear someone else, it's like, no, but That's not what I saw before. There's evidence that I can prove that my assumption is actually right. This is one of the biggest major downfalls that we see in families. When it comes to relationships of any kind, whether it be in family, spouses, siblings, however it looks, this is what it can look like. And it requires us to be able to sit and listen and hear. Here's some proverbs to guide us as to why it's important. When it comes to addressing unmet expectations, you find this in Proverbs. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Proverbs 18, verse 13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Proverbs 18, verse 15, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. And Proverbs 18, 17, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. What is it about unmet expectations and assumptions that make it problematic for us? Here are some points that we might need to reflect on. Number one, it's unconscious. We have expectations of others that we don't even know we have. We often don't know we have the expectation until we are what? Until we're disappointed. Number two, expectations, they're unrealistic. We have expectations that are not reasonable. Number three, they're unspoken. We've got it in our head and we think we've said it, but we actually haven't articulated or verbalized it. That's unspoken expectations. and unagreed upon. We have expectations of others that they did not agree to, or others have expectations of us that we did not agree to. Lots of expectations, isn't there? And sometimes we're not even aware. We can have eruptions that occur within this family circle or family at large, not realizing that some of the things that are causing these problems and these issues are unmet expectations. One family may do something different, another family does something different, and so when they both do something different, unmet expectations, because one prefers the way they do it, the other one prefers the way they do it, so it's my way or the highway. These unmet expectations come in all sorts of ways, and if our family is not aware of it, then it becomes a challenge for us to even be able to come and sit at the falla. It becomes a difficulty to be able to hear the young people and what the young people want to say, and it also becomes difficult for the older people to hear what they have to say. It also becomes difficult to be able to hear our children in what they have to say, because everyone is required to sit at the falla. So consider some of the different relationship areas that you engage in of your life. One area is work. Are there unmet expectations and assumptions that are actually happening for you in this environment? In church, is that happening? Family. Family can look like marriage, children, parents, siblings, extended family. You can add on whatever you'd need to add on to that. Then it continues. Other areas of life, friendships, neighbors or roommates. What are these other areas of relationship for you look like? Because assumptions and expectations is also this idea that you have a really good, you actually know how to mind read. Anyone here know how to mind read? Tim knows how to mind read. Whoa. Everyone go to Tim. But can you see what we're having a conversation about by sitting at the falla is the challenge in order to be able to have a real conversation that requires dialogue that goes both ways is for you to check to see what is actually stopping and creating barriers in order for conversations to flow. Because when conversations flow, guess what? The family thrives. The family comes up with different ideas because you've got a safe place to be able to sit. And if this is something that you and I have not experienced growing up, guess what? You can start today. You can start now. So here's a little bit of a skill that you're going to practice right now, whether you got your partner or your spouse next to you, or you've got a friend, just practice. You're not going to confess everything, okay? Basically, what you have to do is think of an assumption, and then you have to then say to the person next to you, okay, can I ask you permission to read your mind? Or you can say, hey, can I talk to you? And then I think you think. And then you continue on with that. So I want you to try this, because then we'll continue to move on. So give it a go. Try it. Because for some of us, it might be the first time ever experiencing something like this. But let's give it a go. How does that sound? So start off. You can either start off. It's all right to have a giggle. But start off with, hey, can I read your mind? And if they say yes, then continue. If they say no, then it's their turn. All right, let's give it a go. A couple of minutes. All right, swap. So some of the things that we learn are we tell ourselves stories about others that are probably not true. Making assumptions without checking them out can, in fact, damage friendships, families, and relationships in churches and workplaces. The fala or the mat or the table is something that I know we each long for. We long for that place of vulnerability. We long for that space that allows us to be truthfully honest with ourselves and with those that we are in relationship with. The brain has this part in it that's called the amygdala. And so its function is to protect. And so you either respond with fight, flight, or what's the third one? Anyone know what the third one is? Freeze. Fight, flight, or freeze. Now, in a mat sitting situation, if the family don't feel comfortable, if the individual members do not feel comfortable, this is the part of the brain that's being activated. Too scared to say something. Fearful to be vulnerable because it's unsafe. And so this part of the brain that's actually meant to protect when a car is coming, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand there? Okay. When a car is coming, you are actually going to jump out of the way. But if this is functioning where you're sitting around needing to be vulnerable, to share ideas, to discuss, if you've got that functioning, do you think you're going to have honest conversations around the fella? You can't. And that's why the beauty of what God has created, the prefrontal cortex, empathy is one of its functions. When you sit around the fella, you have the opportunity to still, because you're sitting around, you have the opportunity to say, hey, you know what happened the other day? I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? Or, hey, Do you know the other day when you said that to me, I actually interpreted it this way, and I might actually be wrong, but I want to say sorry. The fella has the concept of what the prefrontal cortex is asking us to do, but it's also biblical. Because Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus meant that she was what? She felt safe. Sitting at the feet of Jesus meant that she could actually be vulnerable with everything, and therefore by sitting at the feet of Jesus, it meant that she was in the capacity to be able to receive information because the amygdala wasn't going off. When you're able to sit at the feet of Jesus, you have the capacity to be sent. When you sit at the feet of Jesus with everything that you have, with all your anxiety, with all your fears, with everything it is that you continue to harbor and hold, you actually can sit and give it to someone who can handle it because you are capable of being sent. The story is found in the book of John 4. This is a story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. A woman with 5 husbands. And staying with a 6th, a Samaritan woman, coming in the middle of the day because she doesn't want to interact with anyone else. Coming to this well to get what she needed. And this is how John 4 starts. Jesus needed to go through Samaria. A woman with 5 husbands, Jesus needed to go to Samaria. A woman who's a Samaritan, Jesus needed to go to Samaria. A woman who could have theological discussions, Jesus needed to go through Samaria. That's what sitting at the feet of Jesus looks like. Because Jesus had to come to earth because of you and because of me. This is the power of what sitting at the fala or sitting at the feet of Jesus looks like. It's the most safest place because when she has the most honest conversation with Jesus, instead of that pitcher, that jar, that vessel holding the water, she now becomes this wellspring of water that is bursting and is now sent. Come and see this Jesus who's told me everything that I have ever done. That's what it looks like when you sit at the feet of Jesus. So what do you need to do in order to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus? What's stopping you from being able to do so? If you're busy like Martha, then try. If you're running away like the Samaritan woman, he's already come. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is more than just sitting. It's a beautiful act that allows you to engage in dialogue with Jesus himself. But as you dialogue in that way with Jesus, it also allows you to dialogue with other people, because now you get to experience this wellspring of joy, this wellspring of forgiveness, this wellspring of love, this wellspring of being valued, this wellspring of being worth something, this wellspring that was willing to die in order for you to be set free. This is what sitting at the feet of Jesus looks like. And I'll tell you this, if you haven't experienced it already, it's the best place to be. Take that away from Victoria. God loves you, church family. Come sit at his feet. Come experience what that actually looks like. Give it a go. Because as you continue to journey with that, you can't help but want to share. You don't even have to be told to be sent. You just share. Because of how good God is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Church family, if you're sitting next to someone, have a prayer as we finish today. So just a minute or two, spend some time in prayer now.